At your bulletin, perhaps you notice that our next series is going to be the Sermon on the Mount. And Lord willing, we'll begin that in 2 weeks. A rescheduling of Tom's ordination service. Tom, you're not going to get sick next week, are you? But if you do, perhaps you heard about my very short sermon, 8, 9 minutes, whatever. I'd be happy to do that again. So, because, you know, who's clapping? Is that Tom Green clapping? Tom, do you wonder why, looking in that direction, I somehow knew it was you that was clapping? That ought to tell you something right there. So, all right. So I'm going to spend one last Sunday looking at one of the parables of Jesus. It's found in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Luke 12, 13 through 21. Listen to these, the very words of God. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Let's pray. Our Father, we seek to live our lives not merely in light of the day to day and the week to week, but in light of eternity, great and momentous eternal realities that are always before us, that always surround us. We pray that you would help each of us, no matter where we are in season of life, later years, early years, a college student, wherever we may be, to take this story to heart and to put it into practice in our own lives, as we ask in our Redeemer's name. Amen. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the name Marie Kondo, this cheerful and diminutive Japanese woman who, with her English-speaking assistant, goes into people's homes and enables them to tidy up, as she puts it, to declutter. And I haven't heard as much talk about it within the last 6 months to a year, but it seemed about 2 years ago, give or take, it was all the rage. And her name had even become a verb. People were Marie Kondoing. And Kim and I tried our hand at this in a couple of areas. We Marie Kondoed our papers. The most memorable episode was Marie Kondoing our clothes. And Kim took our bedroom, and I took the guest bedroom, and we each put all of our clothes, every single last article, in one big pile on each of the beds. And the goal, as you may know, is to take everything one by one and to think about it. Now, the phrase that she likes to use is to ask yourself, does this spark joy? And I couldn't quite imagine taking a T-shirt and asking myself, does this spark joy? So I literally took every single item and asked myself, you know, realistically, am I ever going to wear this again? And if the answer was yes, I put it in one pile. If the answer was no, I put it in another pile. And when I was all done with this large mound of clothes. There was actually quite a bit in this pile to be either given away or thrown away. And I must confess, it was kind of an enjoyable experience, a kind of a cathartic experience. But I will have to admit that that has been a blip in what otherwise could be characterized as 37 years of accumulation. I think I've told you before, when we were married in 1983, we moved from North Carolina to Massachusetts. I owned a 1972 VW Bug, and we filled up the back seat with whatever we have, and then we rented the very smallest U-Haul trailer that was available, and still, it was about 80% empty. We had virtually nothing to our name, and we drove from North Carolina to Massachusetts, and but you know, then the accumulation begins. You know, we would marvel at each successive move, how much we had accumulated. The really amazing thing to us was just 3 years after that, we moved from Massachusetts to Indiana, and then a year later from Indiana to Texas. And instead of having the virtually empty U-Haul trailer, we had a 24-foot Ryder truck that was completely full. And what's especially amazing about that is that when I was in seminary, we were dirt poor. How do you accumulate so much stuff to go from an empty, smallest U-Haul trailer to a full 24-foot truck when you have no money to spend? Well, somehow we managed to do it. And we were 4 years into married life. We had accumulated all sorts of things. And that's when you really notice, isn't it, when you move. Obviously, your accumulation happens incrementally along the way. And it's only when you move that you see how much you have accumulated. Well, other than our brief experience with Marie Kondo, it's kind of gotten worse over the years. Perhaps we've leveled off. I would like to think we've leveled off, that we are at least net zero accumulators. I remember when we moved from Texas to Rhode Island in 2005, then of course we had the full moving van, Atlas or whatever it was, and we moved into a rental house initially, and we didn't have room for all of our stuff. So at the time, the third floor of the church was empty. We hadn't yet sold it. And the church very graciously allowed us to store most of our stuff up on the third floor. And I would periodically wander up there, wander around the third floor, look at all these boxes, and just wonder about ourselves. How did we accumulate so much? We did. Well, you know, there's, I suppose, this arc of accumulation. You accumulate more and more over the years, and then it levels off. And then, for many, there's a phase of decumulation that you enter into. And I saw this with my grandparents when they moved into a retirement community. I saw this first with my father, who passed away a number of years ago, and then with my mother. There's this arc of accumulation. It reaches a peak, and then there is a downsizing. Kim's parents are two of the most wonderful individuals you will ever meet. Kind and gracious, and the friendliest people I've ever met. But among their many virtues, decumulation is not among them. And they are in their early 80s, and that arc of theirs, it's not trending downward yet. They've got a large house with a lot of stuff in it. They own an antique mall in North Texas with a lot of stuff in that. And they're still accumulating, at least not decumulating. Where are you on that arc of accumulation? Are you accumulating more and more? Have things at last leveled off? Have you perhaps entered into a phase of decumulation? Well, wherever you are on that arc, things require effort, they require energy. Things in their cumulative effect require maintenance and repair and organization. They get disorganized. They have to be reorganized. All of that occupies our mental attention. And you may remember that Jesus warned about the dangers of treasures on earth, where thieves break in and steal, where moth and rust destroy. And it should be self-evident that the more that you and I accumulate, the greater that danger will be. Oftentimes, the accumulation is either accompanied by or preceded by a sense that we need more space. Most of you have said that at one point or another, haven't you? We need more space. Sometimes it has to do with number of children. Sometimes it has to do with the size of said children. And of course, built into all of this are many assumptions that Americans typically make about how much space we need, how much space we ought to have. But there are different things that happen in our lives that give us this sense that we need more space. I remember the first time I saw a New England closet, I had this visceral reaction. We need more storage space. Who would design a closet this small? But we adapt, we grow accustomed to these things. Do you recall times when you've come to this conclusion that you need more space, a larger apartment, a home of your own, perhaps renting storage space? There's nothing inherently wrong with needing more space, but every time I think that I need more space, I feel this uncomfortable twinge because of the parallels with this parable. When I think that I need more space, the phrase that comes to mind is bigger barns. Bigger barns. Well, I'm not like the man in the parable, am I? I have my good reasons. I'm concerned about my family. I'm concerned about my children's well-being, and whatever it may be. Yet still, these uncomfortable parallels remain. I wonder if you've thought about that. I wonder if you've been able to set yourself up alongside this man who needed bigger barns. You know, one of the confessions we make as Christians is that Jesus is Lord. And by that we mean not only that Jesus is Yahweh,